Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
What's up, church? How are we today? Thanks, Kundai, for standing up. Meant a lot. Man, well, again, my name is Ryan, and I'm so blessed and honored to be the college pastor on staff here. I just got to give a shout out. I actually did this last service, even though none of you guys were here. But I just love this crew. About only a quarter of them are here because it's summer or they're still sleeping. But I'm just so blessed to be the college pastor. And I just want to brag on these guys. Every week, we kind of almost do like a mini church plant where we pack up a trailer and we go to U of I and we have church. We really pray that the presence of God would invade U of I and Parkland. And it's such a mission field, and they do so much. We have small groups almost every night of the week. So if you're a college student and you don't know about Alive, I would love to meet you. But also, I just want to honor any professors that are here, any faculty, any staff, or anyone that just prays for Alive, anyone that has been part of Alive or continues to be a part of Alive. Just thank you for the seeds that you've sown and the impact that you've made. I personally got saved in college, so it's such a mission field, and we need your prayer. So thanks, guys. Love you, peeps. All right. Well, I'm excited to continue our series called Disqualified. We are going through the book of Judges, and we're looking and asking the question of, are we qualified even though times we feel disqualified? Leah gave an awesome message last week and introduced the first savior or judge of judges of Israel at the time. I kind of like to think of these judges as like the nowadays Avengers, kind of like the superheroes that come in and save and help the people. And she said an awesome quote that I really want us to remember throughout this sermon that says, no one can disqualify who God has qualified. No one can disqualify who God has qualified. And we looked at Deborah, and even though Deborah struggled with doubt, God used her in a powerful way. And so today we're going to look at another judge or another avenger. His name is Gideon. And Gideon, even though he struggles with fear and he struggles with the lack of identity of knowing who he is and whose he is, God uses him in a mighty way. And so if you've ever felt disqualified or if you've ever felt afraid, you're not alone, and I believe God's going to awaken us to who we are and whose we are today. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I just thank you, God. I thank you for that your love casts out fear. And God, I thank you that your Spirit awakens us to who we are and whose we are. And God, I just pray that you would do that again today, that you are faithful to do it again. And I thank you, God, that you're here. And so we say, come and have your way. Speak to me and speak through me. I pray that my friends and family from this church will literally hear you speaking to them and feel your tangible and living presence, awakening their hearts to who they are in you, God. I thank you that your love casts out fear. So come and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I am from Cleveland, Ohio. Yes, I'm a big Ohio State fan, but I've been in Illinois for 3 years, so I'm an Illinois fan too, so you can be both. But I love football, and I played football for 6 years, and I went to a powerhouse football school. Every year we were in the playoffs, trying to compete for the state championship. That our whole town followed football. We had news reporters at our practices, and my little grandma, who I love so much, came up to me before my senior year, and she was really trying to encourage me, but she said, hey, Rye, I have a question. Are we going to actually see you play this year, or are we just going to continue to see the back of your jersey on the sideline? And she was trying to encourage me, and that really motivated me, and I started practicing really hard, and I was competing to be a starting wide receiver on our team. And my coach called me into the office day four of 2 days of camp, and he was really nervous. And he called me O at the time. He'd say, hey, O, I got to talk to you. And I said, what's up, coach? And he says, I know you've been fighting and competing so hard, and we've been so, you know, pumped about your progress and what you're going to be for this team, but I don't know how to tell you this, but you're not going to be able to play your senior year. I said, coach, what? Why can't I play? And he says, well, one of the classes you took at the end of your junior year didn't count as a full credit course. And your counselor and you let it slip and didn't realize it. And at that moment, guys, I felt crushed. My whole identity in being a football player, being a Strongsville Mustang, was taken away from me. I literally felt disqualified. I didn't know who Ryan Otto was. I didn't know what my purpose was at that moment. I felt I had so much pain, so much remorse, so much just fear of now what would the future be when the one thing I loved, the one thing I put my identity in was taken away. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt disqualified from something that you put so much energy, so much time, so much work in? Maybe it was a relationship or a job or a dream that you had. Can you feel that pain? Can you feel that sadness? Can you connect with that point right now? Maybe you're there right now today. Maybe it's not something from your past, but maybe today you feel disqualified. Well, I believe that even though I was hurt and afraid and alone and didn't know who I was, something that I thought was a setback, God was using for a setup and preparing me for my life today. And I promise if he's done the same thing for me, he'll continue to do it for you. So today we're going to pick up in Judges chapter 6, and I'm going to kind of storytell a little bit. There's a lot of verses here. We're looking through Judges chapter 6 through 8. I would really encourage you to go home tonight or today and read this story. There's a lot of awesome stuff here. I'm going to kind of storytell and jump around. But before I do that, I want to show this nifty graph that John Secor made. This kind of shares what's going on through Judges, kind of the cycle that they're in. Israel serves the Lord. Israel does what's right in then their own eyes. Then Israel is enslaved or captured by their enemies. Then they cry out to God. And then God raises up a judge, in this case Gideon, and then Israel is delivered. So this cycle keeps happening over and over again. And I feel like, why does it always take for us to hit rock bottom to then cry out to God? I know that's so true in my life. Or there's some lessons that I learn that I keep going around the same mountain over and over. It might look different, but like I'm not getting the lesson that God wants to give me. And so I hope today that if you're hitting rock bottom or you haven't yet, that we would know that when we cry out to God, he always listens. Even though Israel turned their back on God time and time again, God never turned his back on them. And I just feel like there's even a word before we get into the message today that some of us feel, wow, I've turned my back on God. He would never let me back. He won't be there for me. I feel alone. And church, he says today, even though you may feel like you've turned your back on him, he will not turn his back on you. See, Israel, the Israelites, when they realized this, they were being enslaved by their enemy, the Midianites. The Midianites were coming and taking their crops and taking their livestock. Literally, for 7 years, the Bible says, that they were enslaved to their enemies because they turned to their own ways. They started worshiping false gods, being peer pressured to worship and do the things the Midianites did. But when they realized that they did this, when they realized they kind of hit rock bottom, that they needed hope, that they needed help, that they needed to be rescued, then they cried out to God. And what does God do? God answered them. He reminded them of all that he had done for them in the past. He reminded them that how he saved them from Egypt, how he saved them from the Egyptians and literally took them out of slavery. He reminded them who he is, and then he reminded them of the instructions that he said. Worship me as your one and only God, but yet you have not listened to me. The Lord heard them when they cried. Even though they disobeyed and went their own way, God was always there and is always there, just waiting for us to turn around and come back to him. So the story picks up when Gideon comes on the scene, and Gideon is a man who is afraid. It says multiple times in this story, some that I'll mention, that he struggles with fear, that he struggles with being afraid. But he's in this wine cellar, literally hiding to try to make food for him and his family because all their crops and all their food is being taken by their enemy. And out of nowhere, when he's feeling alone, when he's feeling forsaken, when he's kind of literally doing the only thing that he knows how to do to survive, God comes on the scene. So in verse 12, this is what the word of the Lord says. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me," Gideon replied. if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? When they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel. Out of Midian's hand, am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, Gideon, and you will strike down all the Midianites altogether. I just love this passage of scripture for many reasons. And I love the first thing that the Lord says. He comes to Gideon and he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He doesn't care that Gideon's afraid. He doesn't care that, I mean, I think he does care, but he looks past that. And he says, the Lord is with you. He speaks truth into a place where Gideon is believing lies. Church, do we know that fear is a liar? Every time fear comes in, it makes us think we're something that we're not. It makes us believe lies. It makes us feel like we're alone or we're abandoned or we're forsaken. I don't know about you, but growing up, I felt like alone my whole life, that I was a mistake or that I was an orphan. I didn't know that I'm a child of God, that I've been called and chosen and given a chance to live this life for a purpose just like you have. And the Lord comes to Gideon. He says, the Lord is with you. And then what does he say right after that? He speaks identity to him. He sees identity. He says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He doesn't say the Lord is with you, scaredy cat. The Lord is with you, wimp. The Lord is with you, oh, you know, mama's boy. I don't know. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Rise up. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. Yeah, let's go. I love this service. Can I have a confession? Sometimes I don't even tell other people that we have other services. I just say, come to church at 11 o'clock. That might be wrong, but. So then Gideon says, but I just love Gideon's rawness and realness. He says, pardon me. Guys, if we don't think we can be real and honest with God, I hope this story disproves that. God knows how we feel. He knows what's going on internally. So can we just be honest with him? Like, listen how honest Gideon is to him. He says, pardon me? If the Lord is with us, if you are with us, God, then why has all this happened? Where's all your wonders that our ancestors told us about? Where's all your signs? Where's all your miracles? Church, have we ever thought that in our lives? I know I have. God, if you're with me, then why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Why is my loved one going through this? Where are you, God, when I need you? I remember after my senior year when I found out that football was taken from me, that year was a hard year. I got in trouble and I was actually kicked out of my house at this point. Don't worry, my mom let me come back home eventually. But I remember I went to the football stadium and it's the only place that felt safe and home to me. And I remember sitting in the stands and just looking up at the sky, crying out to God and saying, God, where are you? If you're so good, if you're so real, then where are you? Who am I? I feel like a mistake. I feel like an accident. The one thing that I found hope and happiness in has been taken away from me. Where are you? Can you resonate with how Gideon felt at that point? But I just love the Lord responds with so much gentleness, so much grace, so much understanding. And he says, the Lord turned to him and says, go in the strength that you have. You will rescue the people. Am I not with you? I love that he just says, he's like, it doesn't matter if you feel weak. It doesn't matter if you feel afraid, because if I am sending you, I will be with you. If I am sending you on the journey, if I have called you to this life, if I've given you these dreams and this identity and destiny, do you not trust that I will be with you throughout the way, that I will be with you in the mountaintops and the valleys, that I see the obstacles, I see the struggles, I see the fear that you have, the Lord says, but I see past that into who you are and to whose you are, into your identity and a destiny in Christ. And I just love that he says that to Gideon and he says that to us, fam. And Gideon returned to him and said, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the youngest. And again, God just speaks truth to him. Three times within this section, he just says, the Lord will be with you. I will be with you. Church, I think that's the truth that we only need to hear. I don't know how some people will get through obstacles or will get through our fears, but what I do know is if the Lord is with us, we're going to be okay. What I do know that we will have trouble and struggle in this life, but he promises to always be with us. Do you know it says in the Bible 365 times, do not be afraid? One verse for every day. And why should we not be afraid? Because our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords is with us every step of the way. We might not be able to see him, but we can feel him. He's Emmanuel, Christ with us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That we are the hope of glory in this life because he is with us. Man, let's go. So this is three passages that he says, I am with you. So Gideon, I just love, again, Gideon says, all right, Lord, if this is really you, can you just give me a sign? Like, I don't know, I just want to make sure I'm not making this up and seeing things and hearing this voice in my head. Can you just give me a sign? Again, I just love Gideon's realness. And so the Lord's like, sure, Gideon. He's like, all right, let me go prepare some food. And if it's really you, I'll come back and you'll still be here. You'll wait for me, right? And so the Lord waits for him. Gideon, they come back and they just have a conversation with friends. I love that the first time the Lord comes, they have a conversation. The second time the Lord comes to Gideon, he comes with a mission. First with a conversation, second with a mission. And he says, hey, mighty man, mighty warrior, I want you to rise up. I want you to go destroy the altars that the people made to worship Baal. And I want you to replace them with the truth, which is the altar of me, so that people will know that I am the one and only true God. And so then Gideon says, all right, God, I'm going to do that. I'm going, I'm rising up. I'm a mighty warrior. I know I'm starting to believe who I am and whose I am. But just to be safe, I'm going to do it at night when no one is watching because I'm kind of afraid. Again, he's afraid. He admits it. Can we just admit our fears to God? When we admit our fears to God and actually give God our fears, he replaces fears with truth. He replaces fears with courage. Fear is a liar. Guess what? Love is the cure. And love reminds us who we are and whose we are. When we know whose we are, we know who we are. And if we know who we are, we will not be shaken because we know whose we are. So him and his buddies, they go at night and they tear down these altars and they build up new ones. And then the townspeople, they wake up and they investigate who did this. They find out that it's Gideon. Gideon listened to God, and now he's really afraid because all the people, they're literally raising up an army to wipe him and the Israelites out for good. He's probably getting ready to flee for his life. He's probably even more angry. So God, I listened to you, and now this is happening. But then suddenly, verse 34, it says this. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. Another translation says, Gideon was clothed with the spirit of power. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. Literally, power of the Lord rested upon him. You know, I love that even though this is an old covenant story, this is before Jesus. Can I just say one thing real quick? Jesus, oh man, here we go. So I love our church. And I just want to brag on our leaders and what this church was founded on. This church loves the Holy Spirit. This church loves the Holy Spirit. Do we know that the Holy Spirit is God just like Father and Savior? And there's been churches, I'm not saying we're better, I'm not saying we all got it figured out, we definitely don't, but we're on the journey, but there's churches that when we go to, that they don't give Holy Spirit the room to play. They don't give Holy Spirit the respect to say. They try to quiet the Holy Spirit. So get this, Jesus comes, he saves us, he dies on a cross so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. He defies all odds, he comes back, conquers death, and he's hanging out with his disciples for 40 days. And 40 nights. And then he says, hey guys, I gotta leave. What? You gotta leave? You just came back. Why are you leaving me? And he came back. He said, I gotta leave so that you have the gift. You have the advocate. You have the power. You have the same life that raised me from the dead that will be in you. And friends, that is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit talks to us. Holy Spirit guides us. When we forget who we are like Gideon, when we are in a struggle for our identity and we are consumed with fear, guess who awakens us up? Holy Spirit. He reminds us of the truth of God. He reminds us who we are and whose we are. Because when we know who we are and whose we are, we will not be shaken. We will not be rattled. And when we are, we will be picked up. We will be dusted off. Because we remember that our dad is the best dad in the world. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes on Gideon. He gets a trumpet or a horn. He blows this. He summons and he calls others. He rises up an army to fight, to stand on the truth of God, to fight for their one living true God. And can we just say, I love this. Because church, when we know that we're called, then we can call others. Do you know, when you're called, when you're chosen, you can rally others, right? But we can't give others what we don't have. Today's a day where you know that you are chosen. You were chosen to be alive in this era, in this time, in Champaign-Urbana for such a time as this. You could have been anyone or anything, but God chose you to be his sons and his daughters, to be his ambassadors, to be his hands and his feet and his heart in this world. Like, do we get that when we wake up and we're sad and we're working a job or doing things we don't want to do? That wakens us up. It reminds us of our identity and our destiny in Christ, that we've been handpicked, chosen to be alive for such a time as this. So Gideon knows he's called. He calls others. He gets all the troops. They're ready to fight this epic battle. And what happens? I love this. And Gideon just says, hey, God, I need to ask you something. Can you just give me one more sign that you're really with me? So in verse 36, it says this. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, remember you promised, look, and I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground around it is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, God, do not be angry with me. Can I just make one more request? Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry and the ground was covered with dew. I just love Gideon's realness with God. He just says, all right, God, I'm ready. I'm with you. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Let me just do one more test to make sure you're with me. So can you cover the blanket with dew and the ground not with dew? Have you ever gone outside in the morning? There's dew all over the place, right? So then that happens. Wow, what? That really happened. All right, well, I just need to make sure this wasn't a coincidence, you know? So this time, can you put dew all around on the ground and not on the fleece? This reminds me of myself so much. How many times have we done that? God, I'm ready. I'm going. I'm doing this. But can you just give me one more piece of confirmation that I'm really supposed to date this person or I'm really supposed to take this job? Like, you know, and then after step after step after step. But again, God has patience. He's with Gideon. He loves Gideon. He believes in Gideon. He knows who he is and whose he is. And he doesn't mind. He's a God of signs and wonders, friends. He loves when we seek him and ask for confirmation step by step, day by day. He will speak to us. I remember a lot of my life, I had so much fear of dating. Just being real, I didn't have a ton of relationships growing up because I was always afraid of dating the wrong person or getting it wrong or being hurt. And when I started dating my now-to-be fiancé, a lot of prayers for that. Thank you. I remember when I started to have feelings for her, I went to Mike and Julie and I was like, guys, I like a girl. And they're like, well, that's good. But and they're like, calm down. Just, you know, be normal. Don't freak her out. Like, we'll be with you, you know. Don't be too intense, you know. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, I just need to know that you're with me in this. Like, if this isn't the route, like, take these feelings away. Like, I need to know that you're here. And guys, I'm not just saying this to be romantic or sound cool. Like, he showed up. Like literally, like he showed up in ways that I couldn't have made up or thought up. And you would think one sign would have been enough. But I was like a month later, I was like, God, can you give me one more sign? And then that happened. I'm like, can I just have one more? And like, she's amazing. I shouldn't even need a sign. But God was gentle and gracious, and he knew I needed a lot of help. So he spoke to me and guided me step by step along the way. But friends, he's here to guide us. He's here to help us. He's here to remind us that he's with us. Because when we know our dad is with us, man, what fear could we have? What fear could we have? And so Gideon goes on. He gets all the troops. They go to fight this epic battle. This would be an epic movie scene at this point. And they're getting all ready, geared up. And then God comes in. He says, Gideon, by the way, you have too many soldiers with you. What? Like, do you know the battle I'm going to fight, God? Like, I know you're with me, but I need my peeps. Like I need my people. Like, what? And he's like, yeah, anyone who has fear, just lovingly let them go home. Like, let them go home to watch TV while we're going to fight a battle? What the heck? And so he did a poll, and 22,000 men at that point left to go home. They said, peace, have fun, call me when it's over, and good luck. And so they leave, and Gideon's like, all right, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm going. I'm still believing. You're with me. I know who I am and whose I am. And then he says, oh, yeah, Gideon, one more thing. You still have too many men with you. I just left 22,000 go, God. You want me to let more go? Like, I know, like, you're strong, but, right, we need people, don't we? And so more men left, and he was left with 300 warriors. 300 warriors that was going against an army of thousands. Again, epic movie scene in a movie. Lord of the Rings style. That's how we picture it. And so God knew he was afraid, but he also knew his destiny and identity. And he said, hey, just take one of your bros, go down by the camp, and listen, this will be confirmation, another sign that I'm with you, and the army that you're about to fight is actually more scared than you. And so he goes down, he listens, and literally this army is so afraid. They are shaking in their boots. Why? Not because the Israelites are strong or mighty, but because they know that the living and true and mighty God is with them. And they might have only 300 warriors, but they have the biggest and mighty warrior with them. You know, in Jeremiah 20:11, church, it says, the Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. That when we go into situations and there's fear there, the love of God fills us. The love of God consumes us. The Spirit of God takes us out towards the battle line and fills us with the perfect love that casts out fear. Gideon might have been afraid, but he knew that his Father, his Savior, his King was with him. When we're afraid, what are we going to do? When I'm afraid, guys, I have fear. I've been afraid my whole life. When there was a spider in my room as a kid, I used to make my little sister kill it because I was afraid. True story. I'm so excited to be married, but I'm so afraid of being married in some ways. I'm afraid of getting it wrong and not being the man or husband that I know she needs. Heck, I'm afraid of losing my hair. I'm going thin up here, right? That scares me. Like, there's fear in my life. But it's not about what I look like or who I am, but it's about whose I am. Because when I take my eyes off of me or my fears or my obstacles or my doubts or the lies, I remember that the truth of God sets us free, that the truth of God sets me free. I'm reminded that God doesn't look at the outer appearance. Thankfully, my fiance doesn't look at the outer appearance. They look at my heart. So, man, thank God for that. Just joking. There's a lot of awesome, good-looking, bald guys in here, and I'm probably going to be with you one day, and we'll rock that because we are sons of God. We are warriors. Woo! Thank you for grace. So the story goes, they win this epic battle. They save the Israelites from the Midianites, and I just love this final test. The people want to make Gideon king. They say, we want you to rule over us. You're our savior. But again, because he knew who he was and whose he was, he also knew what job wasn't his. He also knew what identity wasn't his. See, because when you know who you are, guys, when people try to put things on you that isn't yours to wear, you can actually lovingly and say, no thanks. I don't need to strive. I don't need to earn. I don't need to take this position. I'm good where I'm at because I know who I am. It works both ways. It sets us up to go after things God called us to, but it also stops us from taking jobs or doing things that were never ours to take. So Gideon lovingly says in verse 23, he says, but Gideon told the people, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. He's like, but dad, I want to rule over them. Like, no, he didn't say that, but he might have said that. Actually, we don't know. But he says, the Lord will rule over you. Guys, he could have set up his family for life. He could have set himself up. I mean, he would have probably been wealthy. He would have been taken care of. He would have been the king. I mean, I don't know of any poor kings. Like, he would have been set. His son would have been set. But he knew that this wasn't his to take. He remembered his identity. He knew what his destiny was. He knew he completed the job. He completed the call. Why? Because God completes those. He completes the call in our lives. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called, right? No one can disqualify who God has qualified. And so he gives back to God what is rightfully his. And he steps away knowing that even though he struggled with fear, he struggled with identity, even though he felt disqualified so much of his life like I have, he was a son and he was called. And if God has called us, friends, God has chosen us. And I don't care what your story is. I don't care what people have said about you. I don't care what you've done in your past. You are God's kid. And a good father never gives up on his kids. A good dad never stops pursuing his kids, believing in his kids, picking his kids up, dusting them off, looking them in the eye and say, I believe in you. You're a part of me. You're meant to be alive in this world. And so I say, friends, whatever your call is in this life, will you believe today? Will you let love be the cure? Perfect love casts out fear. Fear is a liar and love is the cure in Jesus' name. Love sets us free. Love damages fear. Love sets us free from our own self-fears that the enemy has tricked us into believing. Have you guys ever seen one of those big Rottweiler dogs being chased around by like a little Chihuahua dog or a cat? Like he's just so scared of it, but yet that dog is so strong. If that dog would stop and wake up and realize the strength that it had, he wouldn't let that little dog or that little bark make him afraid because he would know who he is. When we know whose we are, we know who we are and we walk in the might of the Lord. Yes, there'll be fear. There's no such thing as a fearless person. I think there could even be an argument that Jesus had fear at times. But yet he let the love of the Father, and we let the love of our Father and Savior conquer that fear. We look fear in the eye, and we don't get stuck in looking at the fear. We look at the Savior in the fear, behind the fear, with us in the fear. There's a quote that says, if we focus on how big our giants are, we will stumble. But if we focus on how big our God is, our giants will tumble. And we look fear in the eye and we say, we're not afraid of you because we know the King is with us. We know the Lord is with us. We know who we are and whose we are because our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords is with us every step of the way. So today, what battle line do you have? What fear do you have? I love this image of this kid running towards the battle line. I just picture a young David running towards a Goliath, not afraid of the big mighty warrior that's coming against him, not afraid of the lies or the fears that consume us, because we all have them. We all have giants trying to stop us from our destiny. Will we run away or will we run towards the battle line with the love and might and the Spirit of God leading us every step of the way? I don't know about you, but I don't want to run away anymore. I don't want to be paralyzed with fear anymore. I don't want to be afraid. And the first step is admitting that I'm afraid. The first step is saying, God, I give you my fear. Replace this fear with your love because it's your love that wakes me up every day. It's your Spirit that inspires me to go after what you've called me to do. I don't care what people say. I don't care if people doubt me because guess what? I don't doubt me. I believe in you. Doubt's a liar. Fear's a liar. They make us think we're something that we're not, but the truth of God, church, sets us free. So today, what's the truth of God that he's saying over your life? Who does he say you are? What battle line is he calling you to run after? Because when you know who you are, you can then call others. When you know you're free, you can set others free. Do you believe that? I just love this story as I close, when Jesus is going to heal someone, and their child is sick, and their child ended up dying, and he just feels hopeless and forsaken and lost. And Jesus just looks at him. He says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, but believe." And the guy just so lovingly, like Gideon, says, "Lord, I do believe, but help my disbelief. Help my unbelief." You might feel disqualified today, church, but just be real with God. Be honest with God and trust. Just as he met Gideon where he was at, he'll also meet you where you're at. Will you pray with me? Father, I just thank you so much, God, that your love never quits, that your love never gives up on us, that you see us for who we are and whose we are, that you see our identity and destiny, that yes, we might have fear, yes, we might have things that feel like they disqualify us, but you are the one that qualifies us, and no one can disqualify who you have called. And so, God, I thank you that we're your sons and we're your daughters. And I pray today, this morning, that you would awaken our hearts to our true identity in Christ. Because when we know our identity, we can know our destiny. Thank you, God, that you've chosen us, that we're alive, and that we have the gift of life today. And that your holy and mighty spirit and love lives within us. Do what only you can do. And I just thank you for this church that's a family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.